Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You think, man, how in the world does that work? I don't have all those answers. All I do know is God's given this simple, clear line that said you operate this way. Does that make it easy? Absolutely not.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron continues our study of 1 Peter today. As we reach chapter 3, Pastor shares part of a message called Secrets to a Successful Home, Plucking the Two Strings of Domestic Harmony.
When you find Christ in the middle of it all, there is going to be harmony. Hence the idea, the very simple idea of plucking two strings of domestic harmony, because there are two primary strings that Peter touches on. I call it the E string and the L string. Now, I know there's no L string on any stringed instrument, but the E string is for emotion. The L string is for logic. And I want to pluck both of those because that's what we're going to talk about today in 1 Peter chapter 3. And to give a backdrop, look in verse 1 when he says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection." Perhaps the most striking feature of the letter is Peter's emphasis on submission and subjection in our response with this suffering. And this brings great success. And he says this now in relationship to the home. You say, well, homes, you know, isn't the Disneyland perfect home? No, if you're a Christian home, you're going to have elements of suffering. You're going to have elements of submission. This brings great success. In God is in charge of everything, but he's put certain people in place. And so when that is in rank, it fits the way it's supposed to be. Submission has nothing to do with evaluation. It has everything to do with order. Very simply, if you're in the right place, then God says, I'll bless you for that. Here are the suggestions, the warnings he says. Here's for the wife. Here's for the husband. In both those occasions, he says, here's three directions for you women. Here's three for the men. What are they? Notice these three for the wife. Number one, he's saying, listen, you be that spiritual influence in the home. This is what he means in verse 1 and 2. Wives, be in subjection. There's the term. You're getting under rank. He says, therefore, this is why, because first of all, you're the spiritual influence. Notice verse 1. In the context, to your own husbands, this is who I want you to put yourself under, so that if any obey not the word, and those they're not going to read the Bible, they're not going to listen to the preaching, that they also may without the word, not without the Bible, but without a word that you even say. You don't even have to say a word, he say, because they're going to see your life, they're going to be won by the conversation. Or your lifestyle, your conduct, and how you present yourself, your spiritual influence is going to be used in a dramatic way for that unsaved man. Then he says, verse 2, he says, while they behold your chaste conversation, your chaste, pure living, you're doing that with fear, fear to God. Because you know that you're going to answer to your husband, ultimately to God, so you want to be able to do all you can to support him and admire him so that he'll realize, man, there's somebody above me. It's called God. Number one, spiritual influence. Number two, he also mentions the idea of beauty of character. You see, if the first, spiritual influence, is an obligation, then the second is an ornament. This is the term he uses. Notice verse 3, 4, and 5. Who's adorning? And it's interesting, the very term adorning is used often. Let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on apparel, but it be the hidden man of the heart. That's not corruptible. Notice, it's not going to die. It's going to be there forever, eternally. Your spirit is the hidden man of the heart. Even notice the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. There it is, the beauty of character, the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in those old times, those holy women also who trusted in God, notice the word, adorned themselves, being in what? Again, the word subjection. They put themselves under to their own husbands. And you know very simply what he's saying? The very word adorn is where we get the word cosmos in the Greek. It gives our English word cosmos, the ordered universe, or where we get the word cosmetic. And very simply, it's the opposite of chaos. And Peter's just warning the Christian wife not to major on external decorations, but internal character. And in that day, in those churches, it was not unusual for the woman to have elaborate coiffures studded with gold and diamonds and plated silver combs. And they were very elaborate and they were expensive. And Peter's saying, listen, that's not where it's at. You know what people are going to be drawn to, and particularly your husband that's unsaved? He's going to be drawn by your meek and quiet spirit. The glamour is artificial and external. The beauty is real and internal. And it is all about, in the sight of God, of great price. God's concerned about our value, not pricing. This is what he's saying in the context of it all, to help these people realize, listen, the beauty of character, young lady, that's what he's saying is so important. And he's saying it understanding that even the singles are going to read this letter and realize, you know what, if I'm going to end up eventually getting married someday, what are we going to be drawn to? Who's going to be drawn to me? It's these people that love God, that want a right spirit, and the hidden man of the heart. This is important. Third particular directive he gives, beyond the spiritual influence, the beauty of character, and that's the freedom from fear. This is how he says it in verse 5 and 6. Notice in your Bibles, he says, after this manner in the same time, again, that women of old, then he says, verse 6, he gives an illustration out of Genesis 18. Sarah obeys Abraham, calling him what? Lord. And all he's saying is, whose daughters you are to be just like her as long as you're doing well. He's saying, you treat your husband with admiration. That's his number one need, that you admire him and you show him that. And when he receives that from you, he's going to be drawn to a God that says, I admire you much. I gave my life for you. That element is supported by being freedom from fear. Notice what he says, the very last part of verse 6. He says it this way, if you do all of that, you don't need to worry about being in fear, for you are not afraid with any amazement. I don't think that's the best way to say it, but this is how really what he's meaning, without being afraid with any terror or if any major alarm. And he's touching on what I think to be one of the greatest areas of need for a woman is the area of fear, because he knew that for these ladies, they had a huge fear of that unsaved husband. So much to the point that Peter's saying, listen, if you live this way and you elevate this, you take these directives of you're the spiritual influence, even though he doesn't know Christ, your beauty of character, he's going to be drawn to that. And you don't need to live in fear because you're not answering to him. You're through him to ultimately God who you fear. And fear can captivate and control anyone, particularly a wife in this category that finds herself greatly afraid of anything. And he says, you don't need to be terrified by that. Sarah wasn't. When Sarah obeyed her husband and said, listen, you tell that guy that you're my wife because I'm afraid I'm going to get killed. He's going to kill me because you're so beautiful. And so she does that. You think, man, how in the world does that work? I don't have all those answers. All I do know is God's given this simple, clear line that said, you operate this way. Does that make it easy? Absolutely not. He's just saying, listen, that fear can capture your hidden man of your heart and strangle any beauty you have. What pain is to the body, fear is to a soul. You find people living in fear, then it directs them and drives them away from what God really wants to do in their life. And that can happen. There are occasions and extreme occasions. It happens in the United States. It happens in other parts of the world. Dr. Michael Cruz was here, and he was deployed and was out for 4 months on the front lines of Afghanistan. He came, and he had pictures of different people, including one of these ladies that had one of those full coverings over her. There were two ladies, and one had a baby in her arm. And she said, see the other lady that doesn't have the baby? That lady right there is fully burned from top of her head to the bottom. Her husband got so mad at her that took gasoline and poured it on her and lit it. And she was in so much pain, nobody would do anything to help her. And she ended up coming to those American forces, asking, begging for help. And he said, we helped her for those 4 months trying to get her back and her health back. That should never happen. Never happen. But the reality is those things do happen. You're in an abusive situation. I don't think that God's saying, listen, you stay in abusive situations. You be in a place to realize, God, you're willing to submit to these individuals or this person, your husband in front of you, but realize that they are also going to answer to a higher calling someday. And by your spirit, through Christ's spirit in your life, being in a place to be that light and that example. That is the element that Peter says to you wives, you end up being in a place of learning submission. And when that's one string is struck, you find another string. And let me move to this quickly here. And this is now the one sentence, but it's packed with responsibilities for us husbands. And I moved to this quickly because the reality is the onus is on us as men. This is where Peter's going with it. Even though it's not as long, it's still true that submission is responsibility of a Christian husband as well. Why did Peter devote more space to instructing to the wives and the husbands? I think, again, because those women were kept under down in that Roman Empire. They found a new freedom in Christ, and it created new problems and challenges for them. But these husbands now had needed this explanation, and very simply puts it into these three responsibilities. Number one, he says, you live with your wife. He's talking to Christian husbands here. He says, you live with your wife. This is how he says it. Dwell with her. Dwell with her. That's the physical connection. The very simple term is a term, compound term, using to be at home with. The two becoming one. And that relationship there is so, so important to dwell with her. And that's a mystery. Many times it's hard because you realize, hey, it's easy. Okay, I'm going to dwell with her. The reality is sometimes it can be quite challenging. There are mysteries. I've mentioned before, there's a mystery of the virgin birth and the incarnation and the Trinity and the church and a bride. And most brides are women. And they're a challenge. They're a mystery. And this is why I think Peter goes right to the second point, live with your wife, and then know your wife. Notice what he says, the physical connection, then he says the intellectual connection. He says, according to knowledge, the kenosis, the acquainted with the content, you understand your wife. And it's amazing that two people married can live together and really not know each other. A Christian husband needs to know his wife's moods and feelings and needs and fears and hopes. He needs to listen to her heart, and it's easily said, more difficult done. And he's not about thinking alike, but they're thinking together. And all he's saying is, listen, husbands, you deal with according to knowledge. You're not going to fully understand them all. You don't have to understand them all. You have to know them.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.